So one of the things that has focused this discussion in such a powerful way is, of course, our daily habit of waking up to still another story of some insane atrocity somewhere in the world, almost always committed by some zealot. In fact, in the case of Islam, the question is often raised, is there such a thing as a moderate Muslim? Because these extremists, these crazy people in our vernacular, threaten to obliterate the possibility of a moderate Islam. So that's why I invited Ingrid Mattson, who is the first woman, the first non-immigrant, and the first convert to be elected head of the largest Islamic group for social outreach in North America. Ingrid Mattson.
My statement of faith begins with a negation, which is that there is no God, and then an affirmation, but God. The Islamic statement of faith is La ilaha illallah. So it's impossible to embrace faith, it's impossible to embrace God without first refuting what is not God and stating that probably most of what we state is God is in fact a delusion, a self-delusion, and so we cannot be faithful unless we first do that. What I don't believe in is a simplistic idea of creationism, certainly. The Quran, in fact, has a presentation of the origin of life that many Muslims believe is wholly consonant with evolution, describing explicitly the transition of life from water, and then a creature on four legs, and then an upright creature on two legs. So this is possible, and my argument for belief in God is not based on intelligent design or creationism. I'm an unbeliever in so much of what I hear presented as Islam, as what the Quran says, what God wants of us. In fact, I spend probably most of my time saying what I don't believe in these days, and that's my responsibility. I need to do that, although I want to also tell you what I do believe, and I'm going to do that. But let me say that the challenge of those who use religion to oppress others, to tyrannize others, to commit violence is not a new one, but we have a special challenge today that really we have to thank our scientists for, because there's a technical problem. And to explain that to you, I need to go back to the first century of Islam, when there was a group of people who believed that you had to believe a certain set of beliefs or you had exited, you had left the community of Muslims. These were known as the Khawarij, the secessionists, who left the beloved Caliph Ali ibn Abi Talib, who is revered by both Shiites and Sunnis, when he agreed to arbitration, when there was a conflict. And he said, we have to submit to arbitration. I don't want to cause bloodshed. And they said, no, God has determined, predetermined that you are in this position. And so by submitting to human arbitration, you have now become a disbeliever. And Ali said to them, no, you need to understand that we as a human community need to work this out together. And they went and in a literal, extremely, completely literal way, held the Quran up on their spears and said, no, we will judge by the book of God. And Ali said, but this book is just some papers between two covers. It cannot speak. We need to speak on its behalf. And they weren't convinced, and they went out and they killed and they murdered and they terrorized. And they declared anyone who didn't agree with them and agree with their political philosophy to be an unbeliever. Now, it sounds familiar, very familiar. And there has always been a stream of those kind of extremists, political extremists, throughout history in my community and in others. But what's the difference now? What we're facing here is a struggle over ideology, but not one that is particularly new, just particularly problematic and threatening. And that's the same with terrorism, and it's the same with our own military power. The nuclear threat that we, and I'm speaking from an American perspective now, that we present to the world, the capability that we have to defend ourselves in a way that would destroy all life, is something that is new to modernity. And what that means is that it requires a new ethics, that our ancestors in theology and law and the religious sciences gave us some tools for, but we have different answers now, because the risk and the benefit of warfare and combat and military operations is very different. The potential for things spiraling out of control when we take a military action is so much greater now than ever before that we have to say, what really can we do instead? And it's not an easy answer. It means long-term, slow work of working together. So it's a challenge. We have the potential to repair or to destroy the earth. That is a theological statement on my part, but it's simply the reality. And so we do have this power to create godlike, and a power to destroy, which is godlike. And my belief is that God created us with this potential to reflect his attributes. The Quran does not talk about God in an anthropocentric way at all. It's not permissible for Muslims to talk about God as Father, for example, because it's a gendered description. But the Quran talks about God as Creator and Destroyer, the Originator and the Ender, the Compassionate, the Loving, the Peaceful, the Giver of Peace, the Acceptor of Repentance, all of these attributes. And our humanity is enhanced and develops the more that we try to capture these qualities as individuals and as communities in a way that is constantly self-reflective and balancing, knowing that it would only be arrogance to say that we've captured it all. And I believe that there is an innate sense of God, and this is where my belief in God comes from. The Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, said that every child is born with fitra, an innate sense of the divine and right and wrong, but it is their society, their parents and communities that shape them into be a particular religious community or an understanding of religion. What does that mean? What it means is that as a Muslim, I am not surprised to find morality in people who do not believe in God, because I believe that morality is placed in us by God, that it is, in fact, innate. And that is something that scientists now are starting, in fact, to discover, that there is an innate sense of morality, and that people, when they do something good, they even feel better. Their immunity is better. It's good for us. So that awareness of God is something that is in us. And we can either accept that as real or as a delusion. The fact that there is an innate sense of right and wrong, a desire to do right, means that there should be no impossibility of the believer and the unbeliever to live in an ethically constructed society. So we have hope. We have a grounds for cooperation, for living civilly, for living productively and allowing our beliefs to be both shared in a way that benefits all of us, but also so that we don't have to give up the most dearly held beliefs that do not impact others in a negative way. And that is the end of my talk. Thank you.